Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our ongoing subject, immense subject, the science of triangles. Excuse me, I have the kind of morning voice here, so I hope you'll be able to understand me. I'd like to welcome you all, the ones who are here right now, and I know others will join us, Annette, Antoinette, Barbara, Clesia, Diane, Frederick, Joan, Karen, Mariut, Michael, Risto, Stacia, Ting Ting, Vera, Walter, and Joe Waltz is backing us up here to make sure we don't fall through the cracks. So let's just, before we begin our work, basically reading in this 100-page section in esoteric astrology about triangles, we will have just a little alignment. Of course, there's much more that we could read about in the Tibetan's group and from his material, and we will have, when we finish with this, whenever that may be, and it won't be for yet a while, excuse me, we can work with certain compilations that further augment our understanding of the science of triangles. So it's a huge and ongoing subject, and in the process we'll gather a lot of information about esoteric astrology, but not only that, the study of the etheric system of our microcosm, our own little energy system, and of the planet, and of the solar system, and of the related cosmic system will all begin to clarify at least a little bit. So this is that huge map, you know, the one you see here, amazing map, taking us not only through the cosmic physical plane, but through the six planes interior to it. Excuse me. And of course, that's just the beginning, because there are planes in the 10 dimensions of cosmos for which this picture is simply the etheric physical plane. And so as large as this system looks, it's simply 1/7 of the next scheme of things, you might say, and on it goes. Once Tuya made some kind of put papers together and showed quite a few of the many dimensions, and it was just astonishing the kind of planar universe in which we are just making a very small start, at least on the path of return. We've been on this huge path of descent as a monad, or amalgamated with other monads as greater beings, but now we have to return, and it's going to take quite a while. I mean, how long is a trillion years in the experience of what we call the human being? And yet we're only halfway through, and according to the ancient chronology, there are said to be 311 trillion years, even in a solar system. Well, anyway, the figures are huge, but suffice it to say, there will be plenty for all of us to do, little beings that we are, but growing bigger all the time, as we embark upon the path of return to our source, which I name the Universal Logos. In any case, let's just gather together in our consciousness, spread as we are in different places on this little globe. Although I think I was talking with Joe here that we tend to shut out a lot of America, at least at the present moment, with these being in the very, very early morning. and the late night for South America and America. But okay, we'll worry about that later. And we try to create a field of consciousness between us that is receptive to the larger thoughts and the larger vision. One day that particular quality found upon the Buddhic plane called divine vision will be ours. We have to work our way to that, and then comes something even more powerful on the atmic or nirvanic level, and it's called realization. So the immensity of what we're entering into, well, it gives a person a certain humility, but a certain enthusiastic excitement as well. So we'll just remain open to possibilities and using the intuitive and reasoning powers of the planet Mercury, a planet much associated with what DK has presented to us, we will do our best to get a grasp of this science of triangles. It will take years, of course, and even in one life, we're not going to come close to grasping it all. But at least we'll get some kind of notion about how things are related in triangular fashion, and maybe we will help this planet proceed towards sacredness, which involves a triangularized etheric body. The sun, of course, we're told sacred planets already have that, the triangularized etheric body, and the sun has an etheric body consisting of circles, which is very interesting. Or are they spheres? But anyway, some circular arrangement. So many other mysteries lying behind and within. Now, we go back to where we left off a couple of weeks ago. I mean, there's enough to keep us going here if we were to do this every day, but there are many, many other webinars that are in process being presented by those people associated with the Moria Federation and from different organizations like the Blue Rose and Poyalanvalo here, the Northern Light, and just other individuals presenting many wonderful things. So last time, what I did was interpolate this chart from A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. And it was a chart showing the different stages of the human being and the different etheric triangles which tended to be emphasized or lit up at the various stages of evolution, all the way from the very early Lemurian pranic stage through the Atlantean stage of man controlled from the astral plane, which still characterizes the majority of people on our planet today, the Aryan phase of man controlled from the mental plane, and getting on into the world of the aspirant man partially controlled by the ego, advanced man, and then the early initiate man controlled from the, well, it's a spiritual man from the first to the third initiation, and finally, all the way to mastership. And that's where we ended. We were talking mainly about about three flows of energy. And let's see if I can get back here. Yeah, we were talking about the monad soul and personality, and we were talking about different constellations and starry systems which in the larger sense comprise the representation of those three factors. So yeah, he was talking very much about the seven major stars of the Great Bear. There are really, what is this, something like 144. That would be very interesting if that were the number, actually. And then the stars of the Pleiades, which have a lot to do with the third aspect and the personality, and then the system. Is it a constellation of Sirius, which correlates with the soul and with the little bear, actually? So, as I've said before, when we view that beautiful star so close to us, only 8 light years away, try to get there at any speed we can travel, but it is oftentimes a substitute or a blind or an insert for the system of the little bear. So big bear, little bear, and the constellation of the Pleiades, which from another point of view is an immense constellation. It's actually a cluster of maybe, we're already into the 800s or something like that of Pleiades. And if we count, who knows, it might be the analog to the 1,000-petaled lotus of the great and local god that we call the one about whom naught may be said. So no wonder Master DK calls us microscopic man. Microscopic, all right. Anyway, that's our local system, and these are the said to be the three major constellations. And then there is the descent of the energies through the triangle of what's called life, quality, and appearance. Now, when you read Esoteric Psychology Volume 1, you're going to find a lot of description of these three categories: life related to the first aspect, quality to the second, and appearance to the third. And of course, this is simply a reflection of the many trinities, whether in the Christian tradition or the Hindu tradition or other traditions. The Shiva, the Vishnu, and the Brahma, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and many, many others. So we're going to be presented always with triangles at the very peak of our understanding, and tiny little triangles that are part of our little microcosmic system. Now we can go on, I think, from where we left off last time. And we're on number 9, page 420. Okay. These three energies will be related, therefore, to the three aspects of manifested life. And as I've just been saying, these have been turned throughout this treatise. And remember that the treatise is a 5-volume set of books. You know, all of this fits together. And it's largely written on the second ray quality, cosmic fire is something else, you know, first and third ray, but this is largely a second ray series of 5 books: the 2 psychology books, the astrology book, the healing book, and the education book that we call Rays and the Initiations. So these, throughout this treatise, we've called these things life, quality, and appearance. Now, for people like ourselves, we've been engaged with appearance for a long time, millions of years. And if you look at what human consciousness is at the present time, it's all about appearance. And the quality, the subjective quality behind all that is still to be brought forward and recognized. Now, people like ourselves who are beginning to bridge into the fifth kingdom of nature, we are recognizing the quality of the soul. And whether we recognize the will aspect, which really, you know, in a sense, kind of interesting, I think will and life are not exactly the same. For me, life is like being, and so in a way it should have no ray associated with it. But the way it's presented here, it has the first ray associated with it. So here are these energies, the first, second, and third ray, the major energy triangle behind all types of organization within ourselves, within our planet, and the solar system and beyond. Now, there's a constant rotation, mutation going on. We can't even come close to following it. You know, we'd have to know some kind of cosmic mathematics, which is, you know, way, way beyond us. These energies change within themselves, and sometimes one will strike the dominating note, and sometimes another. Now, I'd just like to say that in general and generically, appearance always comes first. And after a long, long period of time, the period which features quality comes next. We're engaged in that right now. It's a relatively short period. It's kind of like a bottleneck, you know, it's kind of like an hourglass, really. The greatest of all is the life phase, which is the monadic phase, and it comes third. And we might say that for the rest of our experience in the entire cosmos, it is the life phase which will dominate. But of course, we will join other and larger beings and realize that we are ourselves those beings, and so we'll go through the appearance, quality of life aspect on a much higher turn of the spiral and repeatedly. But anyway, within ourselves, sometimes one note, the life, sometimes quality, sometimes appearance, the one, two, three. Now, a lot of this, here's what he says. Sometimes a secondary energy will become a major conditioning force, and sometimes a lesser expression will come to the top, so to speak. What is the top? Well, you know, the higher apex of any triangle, and become for all the cycle, karma of such cycles, outstanding characteristic, the outstanding characteristic of the triangle. I'm just reading the black, which is Master DK. Some cosmic events are governed by a great law of expediency, and you will recognize that word because so often when he addresses the life expression of people who have a very strong third ray, he says, you do things too much according to expediency, what's easy to do according to the law of economy. So expediency is related to the third ray. But, and it does have a good and constructive effect in some things. Some cosmic events are governed by the great law of expediency evoked by the evolutionary process. In other words, evolution doesn't always try to find the hardest way to go forward. It tries to save energy. An incident also to zodiacal movement, about which, what do we know, you know, and its own interior mathematical conditioning. A subject of such vast dimensions and mystery, and get this, that no life within our solar system has more than sensed its significance. So this interior mathematical conditioning, which controls the movement of the stars of the constellations of our zodiac, is even beyond the understanding of our solar logos and certainly of our planetary logo and so forth. So, you know, these great beings towards whom we aspire, and it will take us many Maha Manvantaras before we join some kind of expression which is like them, they too are very, very limited when compared to still greater beings, and their mind, though vast compared to ours, is very limited. The cyclic expression of life is dependent upon constant mutation, and there's Gemini, and infinitely changing processes. So we just get the very early simplicities of this process, and we do not know the exactitudes of what's going on, and one day we will, because for every life in cosmos, omniscience is destiny, and so is omnipotence. And DK already tells us to practice omnipresence. Excuse me. He says that harmlessness is the expression of the life of the man who realizes himself to be everywhere. What a radical statement. And it's right there in one of our important definitions. So we're practicing, imaginatively at least, omniscience, omnipresence, not only on the planet, but the solar system and beyond and so forth. So, okay, let's see, what can we extract from that? That it's a big universe with mathematics that we can't possibly understand, and we're just beginners, and we're just beginners in studying this great science of triangles, which applies all the way, so to speak, to the very top of the universe. There is no top, of course, but it's a question of intensity, of beingness, you might say, or the depth of consciousness. Now, you know, a lot of this is monadic. And when we're talking about the monad, we have three primary qualities of the monad. So this question about which points in a triangle come to the top, it almost always begins. It begins with the third aspect. Appearance is dominating for a long time. And in the third ray monad, it really continues to dominate. But for the second ray monadic type, the point in the triangle representing love develops almost at the same speed as the appearance aspect or the intelligence aspect. Now, obviously the love aspect is going to develop most rapidly in the love type of monad and will come to the top as a major dominating expression. When it comes to the will type of monad, obviously the will aspect, though not developing first, will develop more rapidly, and that point in the triangle which represents will be unfolded more rapidly than for the other two types. Now, I may have mentioned this before, but this has to do with how the triangles rotate and which particular quality is on top, depending upon the major quality of the major monadic ray. There are subsidiary rays, but okay, the 1, 2, 3 is the main thing. And what I've said before in this triangular relationship is that for the first ray monad, of which there are not so many in our solar system, love is the hardest to develop. For the second ray monad, the knowledge aspect is that which is somewhat difficult to develop. And for the third ray monad, adherence to the divine will is the most difficult, even though it's on the will line. At least this is how I understand it. And this will affect the rotation of the various triangles in your etheric system. It'll all depend on your monadic ray and the timing of the emergence of the three qualities of divinity will depend upon your major monadic ray. Now, the master can see into all this. He can see what triangles are lit up and active in our etheric body, and, you know, probably in our other vehicles as well, because there are triangles there. But for us, we just have to sense these things and know that there are differences between people in terms of the timing of the unfoldment of the triangles. So a lot depends on our monadic ray and how the rotating geometry will work for us as individuals. Okay, now let's move on a little bit. You can understand this could take a long time. How many years, I don't know, but maybe by the time we're finished with it, will know something. And by the way, if any of you really want to take the plunge, of course, I'm saying different things now, right? But in the esoteric astrology video commentaries on Makara, and now also on YouTube, on the Moria Federation site, is the complete book of esoteric astrology, which I've made commentary on over a number of years, beginning way back in 2010, I think. And so this section is already commented upon, but I am, adding things as we go, and it's more in the live situation. So you can go there if you really want to make a study of it, and compress the time that it would take you to make a study of these things. Okay, number four. The statements made by me in this attempt, for it is little more, he's being realistic here, to indicate the main lines of approach to the new science of esoteric astrology, which is basically a third ray science, and whatever is related to the third ray is related to triangles. Now, I've sometimes shown you this, maybe, or think I have. When we're dealing with the atmic plane, let's see, what are these called? One, two. Okay, it's right here. Yeah, so let's see if I can make that any bigger. Sometimes I have a little diff. Ah, here it goes. All right, so we'll make it a little bigger. And right here on the atmic plane, the third ray is a dominating ray, and the whole idea of the triangle is found. It's the third plane down, and the types of lives that are there are called the triple flowers, and the fleur-de-lis of France is connected as a symbol here. And the force of mind is the particular type of Shakti which is involved. And good old Saturn, with its third ray monad, and probably its third ray soul as well, first ray personality, I would say, is the planet ruling. And Libra, which transfers the third ray to our planet, one of the constellations which does, is involved here as well. So you can see how triangular the indications are when coming to the atmic plane, which is the source in many ways of our science of triangles as we study it anyway. All right, that's just a little thought to keep in mind. So, the new esoteric science of astrology on the third ray. And he says, I want to give you the main lines of approach, but they may not be capable of any proof. All right, that's where faith comes in, and we begin to trust this great teacher, Master DK, and we're willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, so to speak. And when he says something that seems way beyond us, or even contradicting what we had believed, we will reserve judgment. Later on, he says, such proof will be available. All that I can ask of you at this time is to be interested in the presentation. Well, obviously we are, and to strive to see the general picture that I am seeking to present and grasp somewhat the relative synthesis, not the larger complete synthesis, which underlies all manifestation. Now, of course, when we're talking about manifestation, we are talking about the third ray as it relates to the seventh ray, because it is the ray which really grounds things, the third ray is, and brings them into visibility, hence the idea of appearance. Of course, DK is a second ray master, so obviously he's going to give us a very complete picture of what this all looks like. I think his presentation is very much a combination of the second ray and the third ray. This is my estimation. Starting from that which is today accepted, be willing to move on from there into new fields of possibility and of sensed probability. Time, again, kind of a third ray factor, will justify the information I ask you to accept as hypothesis. So we are, you know, what are we here? We are budding esoteric scientists. We don't have to be on the fifth ray to say that that is so, because all of us at some point, as we go through the process of initiation, will have to have a fairly strong fifth ray component. Let's just say, look, you know, every one of the initiations is ruled by a different ray, generally speaking. The first initiation by the seventh ray, the second initiation by the sixth ray, the third initiation by the fifth ray, the fourth initiation by the fourth ray, and what about the fifth initiation? Okay, it's ruled by the first ray. There's a skip going on there. And on it goes. You know, we could discuss those things. They're very, very interesting. But suffice it to say that in the period that you're taking the second initiation, let us say, the sixth ray will be prominent in your energy makeup. And in the period when you're taking the third initiation, it's the fifth ray, which will oftentimes be appearing to help you through the requirements of that particular initiation, and on and on. Okay, so he's basically saying, look, just become loosely familiar with what is with what I'm trying to present, and that's all that we can expect. He's being realistic. He's introducing us to such a new and vast science for us, esoteric science, that you know, he probably realizes the limitations of our mind and of our brain, but we can at least get a much, much larger picture of how things work than otherwise we would have, thanks to the volume, the capaciousness, the great expansion of the mind of the teacher who is teaching us. Now, I think I will go on a little bit more here, because he starts to deal with certain triangles in our local system about which we should know a little something. And by the way, if you're interested in following this in esoteric astrology, here is the chart we're going to be looking at. And let's see, I'm trying to find the view. Yeah, I should be able to find this. It's around page 421 in your esoteric astrology book. Interesting, isn't it, that in that book there's so much information on the science of triangles. Of course, that has to do with the fact that the triangle is very much related to the third ray, though sometimes souls are called triangles, interestingly enough. And naturally, astrology being a third-ray science, it would appear in such a book. All right, so now let's see if I can go ahead. Next, I will deal with an analysis of three groups of triangles, which are of major importance to humanity at this time. DK has had to be very selective. You know, there's just so much more that he might have put in, but he's trying, even though it looks overwhelming to us, he has been very sparse in what he has included for our consideration. I told you that I once went through a period of my life where I thought, okay, well, I'm going to now see what's involved in all the zodiacal triangles. So I always went out walking or running or something, you know, with a tape recorder, and I would go, you know, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Aries, Taurus, Cancer, Aries, Taurus, Leo, etc., until I got all the combinations of these zodiacal signs. And I tried to say, what are they for? What are they good for? All of them are active, but some of them are more suitable and more influential in human life. And that's basically what DK has focused upon. These groups of triangles emanate energies which reach through space, and we might say, via the etheric body of our local cosmo system, that space as it's meant here, to the individual man, and therefore cannot be ignored. Now, let's look at them, and we will recognize that these, I've got to make this smaller, a little smaller, and we'll see if that will help. And I hope I don't make it too small that we cannot really, I'll work down here to make it this way. Oop, that's not what I wanted. Because now I have a problem. There it is. Okay. All right, well, I'm not going to quite be able to do this, so we'll have to, I can't get it all under my eye at the same time unless I reduce the font, and I'll only try that once. Uh-huh. Well, if I do that, no, it still won't work. So I'm going to forget that and just leave it as it is. All right. Well, anyway, the super triangle or the major triangle in our local system influencing our solar system, our planetary logoi, and so forth, our chakras within the one about whom naught may be said. It's the Great Bear, the Pleiades, and Sirius. But remember, with the Little Bear being what is indicated behind Sirius. Sirius is very important, of course, and does have to do with Ajna influence, but so does the Little Bear. So the seven head centers inside the head of the one about whom naught may be said are ruled by the Great Bear. And the Pleiades, they have several different connections, but they are connected with the third aspect. It may be the monadic ray of the Pleiades may be the third, and we may be in a vast third ray system. And I once showed that to you. Uh-huh. What happened to my... Oh, here it is. Okay. I once showed that to you, and let's see if I can make this... Oh, it's going to give me a problem. So what I'll do is I'll go back here to... sorry for the little delay here. I'll try to go back here to... I've got too many things on this computer, that's for sure. And that would be AAB diagrams, and it would be, let's see, I always start here. And let's try that. Okay. Right. And now I forgot where I'm going. All right. Well, it's not important. Pleiades and Sirius complete this great triangle, which influences everything. The Great Bear, stars of the Great Bear influence our major planetary logoi, and the Pleiades, that's what I was going to show you. They probably are this green triangle within certain great cosmic monadic lives about which we know nothing, because the big ones here, the big circles, are... beyond the status of our one about whom naught may be said. So this little green triangle is, I believe, the major logos of our local system, and I believe it to be the Pleiades, the hub of the wheel, so to speak. At least that's my theory for the moment. Then comes a zodiacal triangle, which represents each one of the members of the super triangle. Leo is a first ray constellation, and we can understand how it would be related to the Great Bear. Capricorn transmits, among other things, the third ray, and so we understand how it can relate to the Pleiades, which is so strong on the third aspect. and Pisces is perhaps the major second ray constellation. And it's connected with Sirius, which has the reputation of being the cosmic Christ, at least for us, a cosmic Christ. Obviously, the universal Christ is something that, you know, we can't possibly fathom. It's just way, way, way beyond the galactic level and all that. But anyway, there's a big second-ray connection there between Pisces and Sirius. Now, you might want to know the rays of some of these great beings. And we know a lot of first ray comes through the Great Bear, third ray through the Pleiades, but second ray also. And Sirius, although it has a very strong fifth ray for Manus and sixth ray for devotion, ultimately, when you look at the whole thing, it's going to be a second ray star monadically. So this all fits together. Now, remember that the lives of great beings are working through these stars. We're not just looking at a collection of stars in these triangles. We're looking at great beings who have a certain type of consciousness, and that consciousness is working through this collection of solar logoi. Solar logos are working through every star, and then you collect a certain number of solar logoi, and a still greater being works through all of them. So these are kind of cosmic logoi, you might say. Then the next triangle comes down to the planetary level, and you know, you might be kind of surprised, why should Saturn be connected with Leo and the Great Bear? Well, you know, Saturn is a lawgiver, and it has a very powerful first ray. So anybody who's dealt with Saturn knows that it doesn't cut you a lot of slack. You've got to obey, otherwise you suffer. And it keeps us in line, and it's the source of the divine will. So where, you know, sometimes I've speculated that the soul ray of Saturn is the first. Sometimes I've speculated that it's the third. But the monadic ray of Saturn is certainly the third, and the first ray is involved. So for whatever reason, the Logos, who works through Saturn, is connected with Leo. Maybe it has to do with the ring passnat of identity. You know, Leo is the great sign of identity and so forth. Mercury probably has an ultimate third-ray monad and is connected with the third-ray stream of intelligence. Now, remember, this Pleiades-Capricorn thing, this is the very much the human line, you might say, where the Sirius line is the hierarchy line and the Great Bear is the Shambhala line. So when we come to Pleiades, Capricorn, Mercury, we are dealing with humanity. Now, Mercury is the planet most representative of the human race, just the way Venus represents the solar angels and so forth. So this is a definitely human line. Mercury sometimes rules the throat center or is strongly associated with it. And humanity, from one perspective, is the throat center of our planet. But from another perspective, humanity is the Ajna center. And there comes a time when Mercury rules the Ajna center of the human being, and so it all fits. Now, the one that's really... Oh, my. Excuse me. Talking too much here. The one that's really out of line, because, well, it's not really out of line, but we don't know why it's there, is the planet Uranus. Why should this be in the Sirian line? Well, you know, in the Sirian line are all the, synthesizing planets. Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn are all in the Sirian line, receiving from a still superior planet, which is unknown, and some people have speculated that that planet is Isis, and it's way out there, you know, maybe its orbit has been speculated upon. But anyway, here's Uranus, a major first-ray planet. a planet which doesn't seem to have any of the soft line rays, just like Saturn doesn't. Uranus is probably, this is my speculation, well, DK says it's a first ray monad, and obviously it's a seventh ray soul, we know that, because it's always considered, the sacred planets are considered according to their soul ray. So it's a first ray monad, seventh ray soul, and probably a third ray personality, and a fifth ray mind, and, you know, of course, these beings, do they even have an astral body anymore? It's hard to say. And DK says, the personality ray is enough. You don't have to get into the rays of the different vehicles, but obviously they have them. Anyway, I'm not finding a whole lot of place where Uranus has any soft line ray, and yet here it is transmitting the energy of the local cosmic Christ. Now, the one thing that we might be able to say is that Uranus is associated with the rhythm of the heart, and this is the heart line. The second ray line, in many ways, is the heart line, although the first ray is also seated, in a way, in the heart. So the heart connection is how I can see Uranus here, and maybe some of you have some other ideas. It's the father of the gods, the father of Saturn, and it's in the Ray 2 line, and that is mysterious to me, but maybe one day it will clarify, or maybe you can clarify it yourself. Now we descend further, and we go to the planetary head center. Now we're in our planet, right? We're not just in our solar system. And it goes to the planetary head center, the planetary Ajna center. Interesting, you know, as I said, because Mercury at one point does rule the Ajna center, and the planetary heart. Now, I wonder if I can get that heart way over there. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just kind of, it's one of those things, you know, where I can't quite do it. But maybe. No, I can't. I cannot do it. I would like to, and I'll use the word heart here, and I'll erase this one, even though it's not all lined up. Anyway, now you're going to recognize this right away, aren't you? Because we're on our planet, considering the planetary scheme, and what is the planetary head center? Of course, it is Shambhala. What is the planetary Ajna center? DK has said many times, it's humanity, and the Ajna Center within Sanat Kumara is considered to be the new group of world servers, which is a special group within humanity. What is the planetary heart? Well, we're familiar with the idea that it is the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. So he doesn't specify it here, but we know these things, at least from our studies. And then we descend yet another level, which becomes obvious, into the level of the disciple. Of course, we skip a few things along the way, don't we? It's the head center, the Ajna center, and the heart center of the disciple. Now, just think of it, you know, from these great cosmic triangles, energy is descending all the way into our solar system, into various planets, into important focuses on our planet, and right into our own little microcosmic energy system. And finally, it all ends up at the base of the spine, along the will line, in the throat center here, as the Ajna and throat are both involved with the creativity of the third ray. Remember, the third ray is the ray of creative intelligence. That's the favorite word from Master DK about what the third ray should be called, the ray of creative intelligence, and finally, the solar plexus. I just keep on thinking if I could just make all of this a little smaller, it might just fit. So that's a 12. Let's try a 10. Let's try an 11. I don't know. I'm just not getting things lined up the way I would like to, but I think you get the idea. That's the important thing. Now, the other important thing is to, let's see, No, it's going to be stubborn, is it? All right. Okay, there we go. Is to look vertically. Just run your eye vertically down each one. Here's the will line coming from the seven head centers of the great super cosmic logos we call the one about whom naught may be said. So the science of triangles, it's going way, way out there. And like I said, galaxies are related to each other and triangularly and so forth. Great Bear, then the first ray constellation, Leo, which in a way rules the dome of the head. You see a lot of Leo people with tall forehead, That is interestingly how it works out in physiognomy and in the form of man, but not entirely. It all depends on the decanate and many other things. Then we come to Saturn in its first ray presentation, as the Lord of Karma and the Lord of Law, we might say. And then, the vertical part of this is what we're looking at. And then it reaches our solar system, and our planet through its the head center, Shambhala. So remember, Great Bear, Leo, and Saturn are all connected to Shambhala. Think about that. Shambhala is the receiver of this. And then it goes through many, many other transformations, but finally ends up in our head center and the base of the spine. The head center is purpose. The base of the spine is will. The head center is Uranus. The base of the spine is Pluto. So between purpose and will, a relationship must be established by the Leo initiation. Now take a look at this. The fifth initiation is ruled by Leo and by the first ray. So it fits here quite well. Now we talk about something more human. I don't know why he put these in this order. He might have done it in a way that somehow emphasized the second aspect next, but he didn't. He emphasized father and then mother. Pleiades are the great mother, and they are the strongest of the constellations in our local cosmosphere. So it descends through third ray Capricorn, which is also bringing in the first and seventh ray, but all hard line, and then into the planet, which represents mind, with its third ray monad, ultimate third ray monad, Mercury, and it's related to humanity. We are Manus in the solar system. Now going down vertically, the planetary action center. Now, what is that really? It's either humanity or a special part of humanity. Then our own Ajna center, which eventually turns Mercurian rather than Venusian. At first, Venus is the ruler here for everybody. And then Mercury comes later. And finally, the throat center. So you have real intelligence when you can connect the Ajna center and the throat center. And then finally, the planetary heart as we descend. I don't want to get too fastidious about this and tend to want to get everything all lined up. Whoop, what happened? Okay, here we are. So now the heart line. Now somehow the little bear is involved in this, but Sirius, who is the cosmic Christ for us. And it's very interesting that our Christ, the Lord Maitreya, is going to take different paths in the cosmos. The first path he's on, says the Tibetan, after finishing with the path of Earth's service, is to go to the ray path, where he will become, on peculiar training, a ray of love. But eventually, he will make his way to Sirius. So our Christ making his way to the local cosmic Christ, and eventually he or whatever he is associated with will become a solar logos, because that is the line of cosmic Buddhi. But that's another matter. Anyway, this cosmic Christ related to the Christ sign Pisces and related to Uranus. Now look, you can make a triangle not only horizontal, you can make a triangle vertical. And basically what you can do, you know, you can get a lot of triangles out of this this map. For instance, you start here, Great Bear, Leo, Saturn. Okay, here's another one, Leo, Saturn, planetary head center. Okay, here's another one, Saturn, planetary head center, and disciples head center. And so you can add many, many triangles and see these relationships. Anyway, vertically, from Uranus to the planetary heart, and we know the heart beats according to the Uranian rhythm, and then to the disciples' heart center, and finally, is the solar plexus involved here? I think so. That's the final destination. So, look, this is a very rich map, and it shows you how energies get right to our major centers, tying together all of our chakras eventually under the stimulation of the three great constellations, as we call them, the Great Bear, the Pleiades, and Sirius. So these are lines of descent through different types of triangles, horizontal triangles, vertical triangles, and actually what you have here is a sixfoldness when you come down on the line of the vertical line. All right, I've talked enough, obviously. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to say that just to mark our where we are, and I'll try this. Nope. There we go. So let's just say that this will be the end of what? Science of Triangles, number 9. And today is the 23rd of February, 18. And we're on page, what page are we on here? Oh, goodness, I'm always getting lost when it comes to this kind of thing. Here we go, and I'll find my way here in just a minute. We're on page 421. All right, page 421. And the next time that we meet, under these circumstances, I'll be in the United States perhaps by that time, but I'll try to, you know, keep up with you, of Science of Triangles, number 10. And it'll be, okay, here's 23. It'll be the 9th of March. And we'll start here from page 421. All right. Well, look, there's a lot to consider. And we have to remember that there are three types of second-ray souls. Maybe there's seven, even. There's the Buddha type, the pure wisdom, the Christ type, pure love, and the Master DK type, meticulous entirety, detailed unity. So, you know, he has a third-ray monad, in my view, and that's why he is representing that particular array. But then the Buddha has a third ray monad too, and is representing the wisdom type, but a, you know, more a first ray sub ray in his soul, whereas the Tibetan, I think, has more a third ray. But, you know, these are speculations, and one day they will be confirmed or denied. For the moment, all I can do is offer them. So now I assume that in our discussion here, you maybe had some thoughts. You maybe have some questions. You maybe have some reactions, responses. This is the time for us to be able to make a discussion. You can either talk out loud if you wish, or you can write a question or write a statement. And so anyway, look, we have one hand, and usually Vera speaks up, which she does want to right now. Vera, you can go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I was looking at the diagram discussed, the line from Sirius to Pisces and then Uranus. that link how the Uranus, the seventh ray, is linked with the second ray. So my thought on this is second ray is creating those forms, like on the level of patterns. And
on the level just of, like, what was the word, problems?
Pattern, P-A-T-T-E-R-N, pattern.
Pattern. Okay, got it. Yeah. Okay.
And it's still not descending into the matter. And so it needs the seventh ray to really ground it into the matter through this manifestation, through that seventh ray.
Okay. Well, so you know, Go ahead.
Yeah, that was my pondering on that link between second ray and Uranus.
Good. Well, I think we do have to ponder it, you know, definitely, because the seventh ray is in a way the Lord of Rhythm, and we're on the heart line, and there is a particular type of rhythm that is being upheld by the second ray and by the heart. So, you know, the other rays of Uranus, the monadic ray, and the personality ray perhaps have to be considered as well, but maybe we're dealing with the soul line here, as you say. And the soul line of Uranus is the seventh ray, and interestingly enough, the second ray is called the ray of the divine pattern. You would think it would be seventh ray, wouldn't you? But the second ray is called the ray of the divine pattern, and this is, of course, aided by the patterning tendency of Uranus. Yeah. Yes. So there, I mean, you know, for me, this is a mysterious placement, inviting ongoing pondering and consideration. So you had a thought there about why it could be in this line, and that's fine. You know, Saturn is entirely a hard line planet. Of course, obviously, all of these great beings, they have their head, their heart, their throat, and all the rest of it, but the rays of Saturn are really, really hard line. Now, it could be that there's something about Uranus which admits a soft line ray in there somehow. But, you know, that would just be speculation. I'm not sure about that. It's an interesting thought that you offer in relation to patterning. By the way, in terms of the second ray, I want to go here to Esoteric Psychology, number 2, and Ray Divine Pattern. Maybe we find it here. No, that's Ray 4, and let's see what else. Here it is. This is an important reference about the nature of the second ray. The second ray has been called the ray of detailed knowledge, and where this term has been employed, the beginner has necessarily laid the emphasis upon the word detail. It might rather be called the ray of detailed unity, or the ray of the divine pattern, or beauty in relationship. It involves a very high point of synthetic comprehension. Obviously, DK is presenting this type of aspect to us regarding the second ray. But of course, the seventh ray has a lot of second ray in it. As a matter of fact, you know, here's how I think it goes. I can't vouch for it, but there's ray 1, ray 2, ray 3. Ray 4 is primarily a combination of the first and second ray. Ray 5 is a combination of the first and third ray. Ray 6 is a combination of the second and third ray. And Ray 7 has equal proportions of the first, second, and third ray. In other words, how are the rays of attribute generated by the previously existent rays of aspect? At least that's my theory for the moment. So anyway, thank you for that thought. We'll get to the bottom of it. We'll find out the true reason, and meanwhile, we'll offer many suggestions. So thanks for offering yours. Okay, other thoughts. Now let's see. We have a couple of things here. I want to just go here to the Uh-oh. Okay, Ting Ting, you're good. You're good. Your sound came back. Good. Thank you. Glad of that. Now we have Michael and Walter. So here is Michael. Go ahead, Michael.
Good morning, Michael.
Oh.
We go back to the first sentence of which you started reading, and all of this has to do with manifested life.
Interesting.
It doesn't have to do with anything other than manifested life.
Well, we're on the third aspect here, pretty much, and when we deal with triangles, it's the etheric thing hovering above the square. So it is the archetype of manifestation.
So, I think about in this particular universe, which this is about, it works, and in other universes, perhaps, there is not manifested as we think of it. It's something else.
Well, yeah, I mean, when we use a word like universe, it is a Protean term. It can be applied in various ways. Sometimes he calls our solar system a universe. Then he calls galaxies, island, universes. And when we talk about the grand entirety of everything, there's probably an algorithm for our grand entirety. And about the others, we just don't know. So you may be correct. There's a whole new set of rules, possibly, for the manifestation of another universe. But I want to deal with what you said about manifestation. For instance, if I go here and hope for the best, I don't know why I'm not getting. Ah, there we go. Okay, there we go. Okay. Now, I want to go back. I want to go back to the atmic plane. I want to go back. All right, here we are. The atmic plane is the plane of triangles. It's also the head of Brahma. So, what I mean to say by that is that it's the top of the line of manifestation. See, here we have the Father, here we have the Son, here we have the manifesting Holy Ghost. So, everything below here, the next five subplanes down, are all part of Brahma, they're all part of manifestation, and they're led by the hierarchy, which has the triangle for its symbol. So that's just confirming your idea that we're dealing here in this science very much with manifestation, remembering that the true physical body is the etheric body. He's always emphasizing that. Everything else is just an aggregation, it's a congestion, it's a gathering. The real physical body is the etheric body. And later, we will have the disappearance of the physical plane in our particular solar system, and the true physical plane, the etheric, will be what is manifesting. So indeed, we're dealing with manifestation when we deal with the science of triangles. Just to confirm that I think you were on target on that. Anything else, Michael?
Yeah, and to think of what you're calling the universal logos is simply a chakra within a greater life.
Okay. Well, that we could debate that. We could debate that one. That leads me into areas where many people don't want me to go. anyway, there is a great life of every cyclically manifesting universe. And it's only part of the one life, of course, and it's always a little different, I would guess, but not progressive. And this is the thing that where many people say, "What do you mean it's not progressive?" And I have a reason for saying that. And if I get into my reason, I'll throw us off the track. So I'll stay away from that one. But thank you, Michael, for your thoughts here. And yes.
One other thing, as we went down, I believe you wrote something about at this time.
Okay. And where was that? Do you recall?
I thought it was like in number 4.
Okay. Not large or complex, but blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, what was the context of it at this time? Because,
These relationships hold true or in effect at this time, which to me means as the entire process flows through, the relationships change.
Under the law of mutability, which he says is so complex we can't possibly follow it. You know, we'd need some kind of extraordinary mathematics. He even says when dealing with the mathematics connected with the solar logos, we cannot even fathom that. So now we're talking about a much larger system. And you're right. Look at, you know, let's just suppose that the body of space is evolving according to divine purpose. Now, the analogy is the energy system of man. And when you look at man and you see how things are laid out and which triangles are lit up and what chakras are connected with what chakras, you always have to say at this time. And the same would be the case for the much larger system. We see it at this time, if we see it at this time. You know, it takes a long time for light to reach us. But as esotericists, we say it is developing into the purpose for which it is intended. And at this time, it has gone so far in that type of development, and the relationships will not be the same as they will be, you know, some trillions of years ahead. So that's a very important thing at this time.
It's enough to know what it is at this time, but don't think that it doesn't change.
Yeah, that's
Excuse
it.
me.
That's it. Yeah, sure. The Gemini thing, you know, or the higher prototype of Gemini, whatever it is, the law of mutation, the variability, constant interplay according to laws that we have no idea of. It's going to change, but there's a purpose behind the whole thing. Every universal logos is emerging from infinity with a purpose, and that purpose has to be fulfilled in all the lower worlds, which are generated out of itself. So, you know, it's a big deal, and you know, actually, I think before long we'll really be enjoying life in this universe. As he says, for the master, time and space are his playthings. That's the word he used, playthings. The masters play with time and space. We're not there yet, but I think we'll have a good time when we do.
Next week, perhaps.
Yeah, next week. Okay. Very good. Thank you, Michael. Okay, now, Walter. Yes, go ahead, Walter.
Yes, this is about what was said in the early part of this webinar. So, is it the case that just as the seven systemic planes together compose the cosmic physical plane, is it true that all seven cosmic planes together compose what we might call the cosmic physical plane, and does it keep going from there to cosmic planes and beyond like a fractal graphic? And are we sure that on each successive macrocosmic level that we are always consolidating into the bottom physical plane of that turn of the spiral?
Well, okay, probably we're not sure of anything, but if we take an analogical correspondential approach, we will say there's a super cosmic plane, super, but it doesn't go on forever. There is a limit, and I'll show you why I say that. If I can get over to here, you know, let's just see if I can find this particular 10, 10. This is the only place where I think, maybe it's not going to be there. The idea is the 10 dimensions of cosmos. I think it might be on page 1084, somewhere here with the old commentary. And here it is. The one wheel turns. One turn alone is made. Now, I apologize for the cosmic nature of this, but it's this, if you want to get a real handle on the perspective of what we're dealing with, this particular section from the old commentary in Cosmic Fire is just, it's great. The one wheel turns, one turn alone is made, and every sphere and suns of all degrees, you know, there's evolution in the suns, follow its course. The night of time is lost in it, and kalpas measure less than seconds in the little day of man. 10 million million kalpas pass, and twice 10 million million Brahmic cycles, and yet 1 hour of cosmic time is not completed. Within the wheel, forming that wheel, are all the lesser wheels from the first to the 10th dimension. That's it. These in their cyclic turn hold in spheres of force others and lesser wheels, yet many suns compose the cosmic one. Wheels within wheels, spheres within spheres, each pursues his course and attracts or rejects his brother, you know, law of attraction, repulsion, and yet cannot escape from the encircling arms of the mother. And then it gets down to our own level, I think, when the wheels of the fourth dimension, I think that's what we have, of which our sun is one, and all that is of lesser force and higher number, such as the eighth and ninth degrees, turn upon themselves, devour each other, and turn and rend their mother, then will the cosmic wheel be ready for a faster revolution. Now, we could say we're talking about galaxies here, but I think it can be analogized up to the highest level. And let me just say this, Walter. In my view, the universe is finite because recurrent. So every vast, though finite universe, is a recurrence of an externalization of infinity with no beginning and no end. It's just always been going on. So the finitude of the universe is what I focus on in relation to infinite possibility. And I do believe that he's telling us there are basically 10 dimensions to cosmos. So this stacking up of planes and subplanes and so forth, I think, has a 10th dimensional limitation. This is my impression. Of course, it would be vast by the time you get to the 10th dimension. Anyway, this is the present speculation. Further thoughts, Walter?
Well, I think that expresses it as well as it can be expressed in words. So thank you.
No, yeah, for the moment. Anyway, it's a speculation. Look, all we can do, you know, when we get into this third ray area and, you know, what's related to what and triangular form, we can speculate intelligently. We can, based on what we know, we don't make some wild, wild guess. We try to keep a continuity of reason going so that things make sense according to the law of correspondences. Now, all you can say is we live in a wonderful universe and we are it. And the little thing we seem to be is just a seeming, and the thing we are is the actor in any entire universe. But that gets into philosophy and all that kind of thing. We're a lot bigger than we think. We're a lot smaller than we think. And right now we've identified with a certain level of confinement. We call it man. And that's what we think we are. But, you know, as we go along, the veils will lift and we will re-become the larger beings we have always been. So I think, you know, it's a lot to look forward to, and to study the ageless wisdom carefully in detail leads us by a clear path into wider life. And I think everybody wants that, you know. They all, you know, people want perfection because they are perfect internally as the one being. And so the wider life is what we're going towards, but always by graded steps, fulfilling the law, making sure that whatever level of matter you may be plunged into, you fulfill the requirements there before moving on. And this is where responsibility comes in. This is where Saturn comes in. This is where the law comes in. You will be held there until fulfillment is a reality. Well, okay. Thank you, Walter. Okay, friends, are there other questions or comments that you may have before we get into just a little alignment that has more practically to do with triangles? Now, you know, look, let me just say this. Some of this stuff may look pretty abstract. It may look pretty complicated, but just stay with it, because before long, all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle start fitting. And what looked hard to understand earlier becomes easier to understand. And your abstract mind will grow, your antikarana will lead into the triad, the intuition will awaken and reveal the pattern of things as they are, and you will discover that the will behind all of this that's happening is actually your will. So patience is a great and necessary requirement on the path of occultism. Now, I'm sure, you know, some of us have been with it for 50 years, and we say, boy, I sure have been patient, and that's just a drop in the bucket, okay? So hang in there, and all knowledge becomes inevitable. Omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence. Anything else, friends? And Joe, if you see something that I don't see, let me know. And keep your confidence up. Do not ever think that the Tibetan has given us what we cannot absorb. Maybe not in this life, and maybe in a few lives to come, but that's just a small amount of time when you think about eternity. So you know, steep yourself. No, basically he said, look, read more carefully. He says, you got to read more carefully. Otherwise, you will not understand what I'm trying to say. So all the way from the basic triangle of our head, our heart, our throat, our monad, our soul, our personality, our sun sign, our rising sign, and the point opposite the sun sign in our zodiacal chart, representing the monad, by the way. You know, like if you're born in Aries, Libra is your monadic point for this particular life. So all these triangles, we have to acknowledge, we have to see how they're interrelated, the little ones, the bigger ones, the vast ones, and, you know, until we get to the Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva of the entire universe, the ultimate three of our particular universe. Now, you know, that's just speculation, but on the way, we're going to make a lot of triangular relationships, and the main thing to do on our planet is take the squares and make them into triangles by esoterically bisecting. Let's see if I do that. Hold on. I'm going to try to make. Whoop. Okay. Can I make that? Oh, no, I can't. Anyway, I was going to try to bisect my picture. But anyway, esoterically bisect the square so that we become a sacred planet whose etheric body is filled with triangles. And so you become a sacred human being whose etheric body is filled with triangles rather than having that more awkward square-like interaction. And DK says the work of the triangles must go on. Now, on Wednesdays, such as yesterday, Tuya leads the meditation on our own triangles. It's a very beautiful meditation, I think. And we'd love to have you join us, whether it's convenient or inconvenient for you in terms of hour. You'll have to decide. But every Wednesday, which, by the way, is a Mercury day. And Mercury is one of those planets that probably ends with the monadic third ray, something very triangular about it. So do join us for the ASK programs when you can. And tomorrow there will be the Soul of Nations ASK program. And we do that to help the different countries of the world have their souls emerge. And we do it also in emergency situations, and there are lots of them at the moment, and we try to intervene behind the scenes with spiritual energy. So join us for that on the weekends, and then, of course, the very important money meditation. You know, it takes that symbol called money, that flowing golden substance, to run all this and all hierarchical efforts. So let's all be as generous as possible and make it possible for the work to really go on. Okay, if there's no more questions, then let's just have a little alignment and we'll close, okay? Okay. Lots of triangles facing us here, right? So I assume that every one of us has at least one triangle. That's a must. So if you don't, look for people with whom you can cooperate in the sending of love and light and goodwill and using the great invocation to emphasize the relationship. So think for a moment of the little triangle network that each of us you may be involved in, our little group of triangles. And imagine that goodwill and light are flowing through our own little network. And then let your eye imagine triangles all over the world, within the different continents and connecting people in varying continents, you know. Doesn't all have to be confined to a single continent. So that there are, the world is just etherically full of these developing triangles of high quality. And realize that your little network of triangles, whether it's 1 or 10 or 50 or 100, it's just a little network, is connected with the great network. And so it's goodwill that's flowing through, which is love in action. It's light, which is flowing through eventually. Maybe the time is not yet, but the will of God will be flowing through the triangles network. And we're all part of that, and we're strengthening every day our own little network and thereby the greater network. And so what I'm going to do is ask you to say with me, of course, you know, inwardly you can say it at home, but out loud, the great invocation, and imagine the light, the love, and eventually the will to good, flowing through Earth's ever-growing triangles network, which is linked to Shambhala, the three Buddhas there, and let's all throw ourselves into this work and make sure that because of our own participation, the triangles network is made more vivid and more alive. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out. And may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, glamour tonight, dissipation of glamour, and we're working on the glamour of the lie, the glamour of the falsehood, falsification, so that'll be at 5 p.m. GMT tonight. Just use your comprehensive ask link tomorrow, Souls of Nations in the evening, 5 p.m. schedule, and Sunday we will have the attracting money for hierarchical purposes. Also the evening schedule. Thank you very much. Yeah, Joan, go ahead, please.
Michael, Glamour is a webinar, not the Ask link.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. You have the, I hope, I don't know, maybe we don't have it here, or do we?
Everyone who's registered will be getting a reminder. I think they've already.
Fantastic. And thanks for that correction. Okay, good. Yeah, the webinar. It's a webinar just like this one's a webinar. Then the next day, it's the comprehensive Ask link, and on Sunday as well. Thank you for your participation, and try to think of the triangle above the square. Think triangularly, and do your best when triangles are indicated to you and other people seem like they would fit into a nice triangle with you. do be the initiating point and help them participate in this valuable, well, indispensable, really, this indispensable effort. Okay. Lots of love. See you later. Bye-bye.